All right. Thank you, sir. I walked into that. That was a blessing. Holy smokes, that sounded good, guys. And over 70 have registered and are upstairs. There's a full chapel of potential new members. They're going through Life at Grace. You would join me, I'm sure, in just praying that they would do exactly what the Lord leads them to do. It's all I ever want us to do, and I'm going to talk a lot about that today, but just do what God leads you to. I know he's upstairs. He's not in the room, but I want to again commend Pastor Kyle and his first sermon with us at Grace. It was a great word on the gospel. If you didn't get to hear it, I was blessed. We were leading a pastor's conference in the Dominican Republic. Miss Cindy was leading the wives and I the men. I think last year in this large church conference, I went to the bathroom and they elected me president or something crazy. So I was doing my thing. She was doing her thing. God blessed it. Man, these guys came from all over the country. And then I got to sit down yesterday morning for the first time and watch last week's service. And I was really pleased with our newest pastor on our team. So when you see Pastor Kyle, pat him on the back. Thank him. They're about to be parents again. And to the glory of God, they just closed on a house. They found a home here in East Tennessee. So God is good. And we can thank God for a house. Some of y'all been looking for one. It's hard, right? But we just had a fantastic conference. And I've always said when I'm gone for a week and I come back, listen, God's called me to preach. So if you didn't come to hear a sermon today, well, buckle up, buttercup, because I'm about to rip, okay? And it's because I think Jeremiah had this fire in his bones. I love this word. God knew months ago I'd be on this word this day, and he knew what was coming Wednesday night. I want to tell you about that in a minute. He knew what was coming this week. And so as we think about being in Christ alone, just sang a beautiful song about it. I heard it first hour. What does that mean? And as you head in your Bible, opening, clicking, swiping, getting back to Colossians, what does it mean to be in Christ alone? And what does it mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory? And what does this verse mean, by the way? Let's put it up, Colossians 1:19. What does it mean, it pleased the Father that in him? In who? In Christ, in Jesus. All the fullness, all the deity, all the thing that makes God, God, all of that is in Christ. Please God, please the Father, that in him all the fullness should dwell. I want you to learn that. I really want you to learn it. I don't want you to memorize it just here, man. Let's sink it deep. You ready? Let's say it out loud a few times. Ready? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. That's good. Do it again. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. You're starting to learn it. Put those blanks in. For it pleased the that in him all the fullness should dwell. When you see Jesus, you see God. You don't just see a good moral teacher. You don't just see a good man. In fact, a good teacher would never lie about himself, and he said he was God. A good teacher would never lie, and he said he would be slaughtered, crucified, and raised the third day, and of course he was. A good teacher has to be more than a good teacher to be called good. You have to be true to your word. Jesus was and is true to his word. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we had grateful prayers for a godly church. And I said, look, this reminds me of y'all. And I'm not trying to blow smoke at you guys, but we should be grateful when the church demonstrates genuine faith, hope, and love. And that my Grace family, you do that. Today, we had so many people registered for Life at Grace, we needed more counselors. Guess what happened? We had a bunch of people step up and say, I can do that. Tell me exactly what you need of me. Give me some training. I can do, and people are there. People are waiting. Now we have more than enough counselors. Praise God. And then we should be grateful when the gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. Do you know, as a part of the Grace family, the sun never sets on the mission and ministry of your church? My church, our church, God's church? Do you realize that we're touching every continent? Everywhere there are people, we are sending the gospel. We are being radically generous with time, talent, and treasure. And we're about, potentially, to expand that. Today we're going to hear about the Apostle Paul's powerful prayers for a changing church. Please don't let that phrase wig you out. But changes are afoot. And I need you to know that, because sometimes, most oftentimes, people have negative thoughts when they hear the word change and church go together. My first church, I'm actually in my early 20s. I'm called to be an associate pastor, education. There was associate pastor, minister of education, and then they added music. Because back then, you didn't have a worship pastor, you had a music director. I was the music guy. But I did this thing called education. I didn't even know what that meant. In small church, it'd be kind of like the Sunday school director, but they paid me a little bit because I was a young ordained pastor. We had a senior adult ladies Sunday school class. It was named after one of the founding teachers. Little block room, sweet, godly women, most of whom, maybe all of whom, are with Jesus now. And as the education guy, I was supposed to go around, and as we were rapidly growing in our Sunday school, y'all know what Sunday school is, right? Sunday school? It's kind of like small groups, but at a set time before the worship service. As I was going around evaluating, I thought we might need to move the Miss, I'm going to call it Jane Doe class. That wasn't her name, but it was named after the lady whose picture was on the wall. Have you ever seen one of those old lady pictures on the old lady Sunday school? And I don't mean this ugly, but I just mean her eyes would follow you wherever you went. Like, you looked at the picture. One day I went in and I actually touched the sacred photo, and I pulled it off the wall a little bit, and I realized that there were like 5 or 6 layers of paint, and the painters dared not touch the picture. So it was a totally different color. And I had the conversation with some people older and wiser about moving classes and in growth, and I mentioned the Miss Jane Doe Sunday School room, and they said, oh, you can't move them? Pastor, they'll kill you. And they went on to explain to me that even if the Lord himself opened an opportunity for our entire campus to move, we would have to crane over the Miss Jane Doe Sunday School room and put it in the exact location. Y'all follow me? It wasn't that they were not wonderful, sweet, prayer warrior, godly women. They were. And they're enjoying the reward of their faith. And if any of you are alive, please understand my heart, because so many folks watch. I love you and I appreciate you. And I thank God for the Miss Jane Doe picture I watching Sunday school class. Because you loved on me, a young preacher boy. And you gave me a lot of rope and a lot of great counsel. So thank you. But change anytime is hard. But I also know that stagnation doesn't breed health. Stagnant water doesn't sustain healthy life. Only living water. Now, you know living water's in the Bible, yes? Living water, you've heard it, yes? Do you all know what it means, though? Because what's important is that we know Jesus said, I'm the living water, but the language itself of living water all through the Bible, John 4 at the Samaritan woman at the well, all through the Bible, living water means moving water. It means the water you see this moment won't be the water you see next moment because it's moving. That's all it means. Living water. It's moving water. That it's alive and it sustains life. If you want to see dead water, I hope to do a Holy Land trip in 26, assuming it's safe to go back. We'll float the Dead Sea together, but it is dead and a half, y'all, because it has no life. There's no outlet. There's no movement. It is sat and stagnated and filled with salinity, and you float marvelously. But the reality is we need to be a healthy church, and healthy churches change. We have to. I'm talking about a lot more than music style. I'm talking a lot more than ties, no ties. I'm talking a lot more than where the particular Sunday school class is. We've seen the greatest years of growth in the 100-plus history of our church. 2 years in a row. In this third year, we're on track to beat that by a country mile. Hope you know what that means. The reality is, though, it's not about that kind of growth. It's much more about this kind of growth. This kind of deep root growth, listen, is far more important. Far more important. Because this kind of deep root growth means we're ready for the storms that always come, right? They're always gonna come and try to rock us and knock us and knock us down. But the tree with the deepest roots grows tall. But you won't change. I promise you do. Lucy's 5. Sophia's 2. When they run in here later to see G-Pa, they've changed. They're changing. We were gone for a week and they changed. Little baby Keith, that's not a boy name. Holly and Garrett's little one, his name is Keith. Now, if they choose to name him Keith, he'll be little baby Keith Keith. I hope they don't do that. But I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. They're going to do a gender reveal because, of course, you have to now. You have to record it all and put it out to the world. It's the way we do things now. Creepy, but at my house. Okay, so that little what did you say this week? Orange? Orange? Size of an orange-ish? It's got to do a lot of growing in the next several months. Got to do some, and you would expect it to. And when he or she comes out, you would expect growth. It is wonderful and beautiful and glorious, and every phase is awesome, but you have to keep growing lest you cease to exist. This is where we are as a church. This is what I want to talk to you about Wednesday. This is where the God has poured into us so much. As a sponge, we've soaked and soaked and soaked, and now as he squeezes to allow us to take in more, I want to see if you align with the hearts of your pastors and all of our teams who've studied this. And I just want to tell you, I've been offering powerful prayers this week and in the leading months, actually, for a changing church. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. Let's see what Paul says. He starts with the phrase, for this reason. For what reason? Well, because you're genuinely, you're demonstrating genuine faith, hope, and love. And secondly, he said, the fruit of the gospel through you, Colossians, Christians at Colossae, it's bearing fruit all over the world. I am thankful for that. This is what he says. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, Epaphras told us, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all for all patience and long-suffering, with what? Joy. That seems weird to put patience and long-suffering in the same sentence as joy. That's what God does. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I absolutely love this passage, as I do all of Colossians and your word. But we could spend days, weeks, months, probably years here, and we would never mind the depths of these riches. But even as we do this flyover today, I pray that you would speak and that we would listen and that we would apply your truth for your glory. And whatever happens in the coming days with our Grace family, Lord, may it be for your glory and for the kingdom and not to us. We are here, we are gathered, we are ready. Move us now in Jesus' name, amen. I do want us to be mindful of those in the plane and the helicopter and the second plane the other day that went down. I also want us to be mindful for the first responders, as one of our prayer partners reminded us this morning. Would you pray, as you pray for victims and families, would you pray for those who are first on the scene? Because most of us can't imagine what they've seen. Most of us can't fathom what those men and women have endured. And so for those on the front lines, we thank you and we praise God for you. And I want us to be a praying church for those who are hurting. So what are we gonna pray for specifically? Number one, let's pray for growth in our godly wisdom. Now, used adjectivally here, godly is not supposed to be capitalized. I have a hard time with a little G. So on your notes, if you wanna put a big G, man, do it, go at it. But you English teachers would invariably call me out on it, so it's lowercase properly, but godly. I'd rather it be big G, but godly wisdom. We see in verse 9, for this reason. For what reason, Paul? I've gotten a good report from my buddy Epaphras, and because we know you're doing great things, we've not stopped praying for you. We're living out 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Paul's ceaseless prayer doesn't mean he walks around mumbling all the time. It means he's consistently, regularly lifting it up, lifting them up. You know you get that every day here. I was the only pastor of the whole group this week in DR that said, we pray for our church every morning as a pastoral team. Now, all the guys pray for their churches. Don't mishear me. I am certainly not holier than those guys. They're far, far ahead of me. But I will tell you that we were the only one, and a bunch of buddies came up afterward and said, I'm gonna go home and think on that. You mean all of your pastors gather every day and you're in the same space at the same time praying for your people? I said, yep. Our pastoral cares better for it. Our hearts are more tender because of it. We get to cut up and laugh and build camaraderie as well. There's value in that. And so a bunch of guys were like, okay. And you know what? When I think about what Paul is saying here, he just has a pastoral heart. Man, I thank God for what I'm hearing. I haven't been there. Remember, he's enslaved and chained. He's home prison here. But when he says, I'm praying the first time, it's general. It's just general prayer. Then he says, but I'm also asking God. Different word, by the way, if you were to look at verse 9 again. I'm not going to stop praying, but I'm also asking. The word asking means I'm having specific petition for you. For what? To be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled, pleroos, where we get the word plethora. That you would have a plethora of knowledge of God's will. What does God want for you? Church, what does God want for you? And then he said a completeness, a full deep understanding of God's will. But then he moves that into wisdom. I'm going to talk about how we do that. But you know, in the last 6 years and even long before that, many changes have happened in and through grace. Wednesday night, by far, my most significant business conference since I've been your pastor. Some of these items have been in the works well over 5 years, and some of them I've said no to multiple times, and yet in the last few months, God has opened my heart to a yes. Your pastors will stand united. Your trustees, your personnel team, your finance and budget team will stand united, and we will present something to you to toss around, ask questions, pray about, and then vote. Every active voting member should be here. You say, I don't know what an active voting member is. You're not one. Okay, I love you, but I don't shouldn't have to explain it. Do you come regularly? If you join the church, are you part? Then you're an active voting member. If you're a guest, I told a huge number of guests that came through today. They said, can we come? Yes. See the body at work. See what the people of God do. Now, we're not going to allow non-members speaking and all of that in this because it does have format. It does have format, but I want to be transparent. And y'all, countless hours of prayer and work have gone into what we present you. Big, glorious, God-sized opportunities. And my buddies from all over the country are like, man, I've never even heard of that kind of an opportunity. That almost sounds too good to be true, but you realize, no, there's still a tremendous amount of work involved, a lot of work. But there's only one question I've been asking. Seriously. There's one question I've been praying over and over and over, and God, to my heart, has given an affirmation without question, a vision, and it is this. Please write it down. God, is this what you want for this church at this time? Y'all know the right thing done in the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. Very biblical principle there. But to do the right thing in the right time for the right reason, the glory of God, gets the blessing of God. And guys, we are a giant sponge. And we have been so filled with blessings as a church, as an academy, as a performing arts center, as a counseling ministry, as a sports ministry, as all of these things that come off the hub of grace that are part of the family. We've been so richly blessed. Sponges stop taking it in after a while. What must happen for that sponge to take in more? Squeeze, release, flow the blessing out. Now you're ready to receive. Gang, Grace Baptist Church is and always will be a lighthouse. Lighthouses do not stay lit for themselves. Ooh, look at my pretty lighthouse. Lighthouses shine brightly beyond their borders for those navigating the darkness. We exist for the glory of God and the good of others, the ones we haven't met yet. That's why we're here, y'all. Do y'all follow that? Say amen. That's why we're here. Some of y'all ain't as Baptist-costal as me. I scare you at times. Good. It's good to be a little nervous in church. Good to stay awake. Good to freeze. I know some of you have frostbite on your toes right now. I love you. But I want you to be awake for this. Bring a blanket. It's just really important that you're here. It's really important. Well, it's a long day, Pastor. I don't want to be there on Wednesday night. I don't like Baptist business meetings. I don't either. But sometimes we got to get together and talk, y'all. We got to pray. I'm kidding. I actually do like them. I actually like seeing the family of God be the family of God. in a unity of the Spirit, not a uniformity, a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think it's a beautiful picture of a lot of people working together for one cause. Y'all know when it is? This Wednesday. Do you know what time? 7:30 after Calhoun's barbecue. Come eat. Do you know where? Right here. Right here, this Wednesday, 7:30, after Grace University, after choir, orchestra, student ministry. Paul said in this, hey gang, I'm praising God and I'm praying for you, but I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. When you're filled, there's no room for anything else. I don't want my will. I don't want your will. I want God's will. When you put God's will to the very top of the rim of the glass, there's no room for anything else. And he said, I need you to do this through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, the Greek word, the word of my little grandbaby, the second one, Sophia. Sophia. Love that name, wisdom. He said, I want you to have Sophia. I want you to have sunesis. Sunesis is this understanding, clear analysis, clear decision-making, applying knowledge to various problems. After all, isn't that what wisdom is? The proper application of knowledge. That is wisdom, my friends. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it all. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, to know he is God and I am not. But we will not come unprepared. We will be ready with understanding and wisdom. But the false teachers that Paul's writing against, the Gnostics said, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. You can't just have wisdom from God. You've got to go through our hoops. If you'll go through our legalistic regulations, then maybe we, the cult leaders, will grant you this wisdom. A lot of cults out there do that, y'all. They won't tell you what's true on the front end. They won't tell you, like my Mormon friends, they won't tell you God was once a man. They won't tell you God had intercourse with a lady and later became God. They won't tell you Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. They won't tell you can be a God too. They won't tell you. The Gnostics were like that. But when we come to Christianity, as we see it in the Bible, you need to know what you're getting into up front. Why? Paul also told the Ephesians, I tell you why, that you should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into all things who is the head, not the pastor, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Growth of the body. We do this, God does this. We do this, God does this. Now, God's the one doing that too, really? God's really the one doing it all? But we aim for this. We aim for depth. God grants width as he chooses. But size is not an indication of health. Just because there's a lot of money, big buildings, and a lot of people doesn't mean we're healthy. We got to aim for health. We got to aim for the glory of God. And then God may choose to grant that. But how do I know the difference now in knowledge and wisdom? Well, let me give it to you like this. I heard this a long time ago. I tried to find who said it first. I couldn't. It's been swirling around for years. Let me give you the difference. You ready? Knowledge. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is technically a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in your fruit salad. That speak to y'all? I liked it. We got to pray for both. I give you real quick, some of you heard the story about Bubba. Bubba had shingles. Bubba walked into the doctor's office, receptionist asked him what he had. Bubba said, I got shingles. She wrote down his name, address, medical insurance number, told him to have a seat. 15 minutes later, another nurse comes by. Bubba, what do you have here, sir? Well, I've got shingles. She gets his way to complete medical history, told him to wait in the examining room. Another nurse comes by later. What do you have, sir? Well, ma'am, I have shingles. And she said, okay, we're going to get a blood test, blood pressure, take off all your clothes, put on a paper gown, wait for the doctor. Some time passes. The doctor walks in. He's looking at the chart. He says, I just don't understand. We've looked at everything. I'm looking you over now. He says, sir, what do you think you have? And he said, man, I'm telling you, I've got shingles. And the doctor said, well, where? And he said, out there in the truck. Can I please get to work? Hey, we got to ask the right questions. Not what does the pastor want, not as what do I want, what do I prefer, what do I like, who cares? Lord, what do you want? God, is this what you want for this church at this time? God, is this what you want for my life at this time? God, is this in alignment with your heart? And through the word of God and the spirit of God and the people of God, we get consensus from God and we move forward to the glory of God. We want godly wisdom, but it's never about what's best for me. It needs to be colder in there. Nobody says that, right? It needs to be hotter in there. It needs to do this and the music should be, and he should wear a tie. If he just wore a tie, he'd be more holy. Tell it to Jesus. Lord, what is going to bring you the greatest glory? Lord, what do you want? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. What's the TV show say, y'all? Father knows. That's where we start, with our Father. Pray for growth in godly wisdom. Second, pray for growth in our godly walk. Y'all know the walk is just the daily life as a Christian. Just the daily life, doing life as a child of God. He says, you're going to have all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's this, y'all. That's that. Deep, deep, deep. Strengthened with all might. Not because you got it, not because I've got it, according to his glorious power. For all patience, all long-suffering. This is weird. With joy. How often do you hear joy follow the word long-suffering? Well, I tell you, Steve Pettit, Pastor Steve, brought some great words over the marriage conference this weekend. He talked to us about how to have a holy fight. Miss Cindy and I went home and put it into practice over the foosball table. If you'll remember, that's where she told me one day after I'd beat her 5 games in a row that she hated my face. It's all I got. Holy fight. I don't know if it was holy. But here's the deal. Paul's aim, his petition is practical. I want you to live a life and I want you to walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. A genuine knowledge of Christ and wisdom reveals itself in transformed character. Like Paul would say to the Thessalonican Christians, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And to walk worthy is the word axios, A-X-I-O-S, if I take the Greek and put it in English, axios, an axis. Think about a tipping point. I want you to walk worthy means I want you to be properly weighted and balanced in the right spot. I want you to have a proper balance. And I want you, what is he asking us to be? Be holy as I am holy. Leviticus 11, 1 Peter 1, the aim of believers to please God in every way, to please him. Notice that in the Bible. Don't miss that in the Bible. In fact, he goes on later and he'll teach us that. We're going to come back to it next week. I don't have time. But what the point is this, merely pleasing people is incompatible with being a servant of Christ. I can't persuade men. It says, do I persuade men or God? No, do I seek to please men? Well, if I still please men, I'm not a bondservant of Christ. Paul made his ambition of life to please God, to put a smile on God's face. Bearing fruit, he says, is part of this. He gives 4 participles, by the way. Bearing fruit, growing, being strengthened, giving thanks. He talks about all those. Bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God. We'll talk about thanksgiving in a moment. A person manifests the fruit of the Spirit, and as he or she manifests the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as they manifest that fruit, singular, apple, core, seed, meat, flesh, stem, not fruits. You say, well, I'm missing some apples. I'm missing some oranges. I don't have much of that patience. No. Fruit. To be healthy, it has to have it all, starting with love. But the fruit of the Spirit, as we exercise that, it grows. As we manifest that, it grows. St. Augustine said, faith is understanding's step. Understanding is faith's reward. What does it mean? I demonstrate faith, I take a step and get more understanding. When I get more understanding, I demonstrate more faith, I take a step. I take a step, and if I had stairs up here, I go up, 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 up. I'm getting closer to be more like my Savior. Not perfect this side of heaven, but more like Christ. In other words, the more you trust God, the more you act in the good and avoid the bad, the more God bolsters your faith. Write it down. Exercising your faith makes it stronger. You guys know that. You guys know if you can do 10 push-ups today and you do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, eventually 20 will seem like nothing because it needs exercise. Faith is the same. Lord, I believe, Mark 9:24, the Father cried. Help my unbelief. Exercise the faith. Greater wisdom regarding the things of God lead us to a stronger walk with God. It's not just about our strength. It's never about our strength. Verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Strengthened in might with power. Those words are different, but they're somewhat related. They're wonderful words that talk about what God is doing in us and through us. God's power in us. Christ in you. The hope of glory in Christ alone. And when things are going well with you and your family, well with your finances, well with your friends, it's easy to say, Pastor, I am trusting God. Hallelujah. He is good. But what about when it's all falling apart? Two boys, both about the same age. One of my buddy's boys. We grew up together. Went to the same school, played in the same neighborhood, rode bikes down the same trails. And yet his 11-year-old boy was dying, eaten up with a childhood cancer. As a pastor in his life at the time, I certainly didn't have the words or the answers, but I did know a good father. I knew a good father he could turn to, and I watched my buddy be a good father, a good husband. And as they had to entrust their little guy into the arms of Jesus, pretty wild to watch he and his wife grow closer together. Oh, they were hurting. Oh, they were grieving. Oh, yes, at times they were angry. At times they raised a fist to God. By the spirit of the one who lived in them, they would eventually unclench their fist and begin to worship again. Today they're serving Jesus together as a family, one of their children already with our Lord. Another family, a few doors down from where I grew up, another son, a different situation, but a tragic boating accident. He too was now in the arms of the Lord. But in addition to the anger to God, there became blame and shame one to another. They stopped turning toward one another and turned into the arms of others where they thought they could find comfort. Not only did they raise angry fists before the Lord, they kept them up, forsaking both their marriage vows and eventually their faith. They've endured dramatic suffering over the last few decades. But they claim no longer to walk with God. One pressed in and grew stronger. One forsook it all and walked away. What if your 11-year-old son was dying? What if one of your children had come back from an ice skating tournament on that plane? What if cancer, Alzheimer's, other tragedy took someone from you? Some of you sadly have already answered that question. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for reminding me that after the storm, we can look to the sky again, that the sun always shines whether we see it or not. Would you shake your fist in anger to God? Listen to me right now. God is big enough to handle your anger. That's okay. You may have never heard this from a pastor before, but at times I would argue it's okay and maybe even right. David did, and he was a man after God's own heart. But you cannot continue to walk the road of life with clenched fists. You will choose to thank God for what you have had, or you will choose to be angry with God for what you perceive to no longer have. Make your choice. It may take time, It may take a lot of time, but the sun is still shining. We find in 11 that patience and long-suffering are put in the context of joy. MacArthur says these terms are closely related. One refers to attitude during trials, patience, enduring circumstances. Long-suffering often means enduring difficult people. You've lived long enough, you've dealt with both. Challenging circumstances and challenging people. Can you do both with joy? Joy in Christ goes beyond the temporal to the realization that he may not always calm the storm. He may not immediately let the wind and waves die down, but he will walk all over it and he will come to you in the midst of it if you will allow. He will not force his way into the boat of your life. He will not manifest himself in ways that you need should you choose to keep clenched fist in his face. How is your faith? Has it been shaken to the core? On the authority of the Word of God today, I will tell you that if you will exercise your faith, God will strengthen your faith. How do I know this? Because you know this verse. Now listen, listen close. Psalm 30 and verse 5. You ready? You know it. You know the verse. Psalm 30 and verse 5. You ready? Say it with me. Weeping may endure but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There you go. You knew it. Weeping may endure, but for a night. Yes, we've all had nights. Some nights are months. Some nights are years. But if we continue to walk by faith and not by sight, what comes in the morning, church? Joy cometh in the morning. So what do we pray for? We pray for growth in our godly wisdom. We pray for growth in our godly walk. That may include long suffering. That may include patience. It most certainly will. And finally, we pray for growth in our godly gratitude. Very, very quickly, I give you this last truth. Godly gratitude, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Why? He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Thankfulness is critical. We cannot help but be thankful when we understand what God has done for us through his Son and our Savior. Believers are urged all over the Bible, give thanks in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Four more times, Paul will encourage believers in Colossians to be grateful. Paul centered his thanksgiving on this: God qualified you. God qualified you, made you competent to share in his inheritance. That's an amazing thing. What do you do to deserve an inheritance? Nothing. You are born. In the case of God's kingdom, you are born again. You know, I have an inheritance. Now, y'all know I'm an only child. Shocker for you new folks. Mom and daddy said they got it right the first time. They didn't say that. Health reasons. No more. No siblings. I have an inheritance. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to back up. I'm going to be transparent. I think I have an inheritance. About 37 years ago, my mom bought a little Maltese that won't die. Okay? I'm just going to shoot y'all straight. It just won't die. And so Lexus, this dog Lexus, you don't drive one in our house. You have to take one out to poop. Lexus is arthritic. Mostly blind, kind of looks like this. And I think my mama spent $1 million on her. I'm just going to tell you straight. Now, if she's watching, I love you and I appreciate you, but I'm pretty sure my inheritance has gone to dog arthritis medicine. I'm pretty sure. But then I have to step away and say, so what? She loves that ugly little hunched over thing. So what? What did I do to deserve it anyway? What did I do, y'all? Nothing. Nothing. I was just born into the family. I've always found it to be fascinating that people bring you a lot of gifts on a day you did nothing. Your birthday gift should go to your mama. Has anybody ever thought about that? Congratulations, you popped out. What about this woman? You women use that. Take that. Do something with that. Here he promises us an inheritance, and he says, because of that inheritance, you should be thankful. God himself has delivered us from darkness into his marvelous light. And from this dominion of darkness, we've been rescued, delivered. We've been bought back, ransomed, and redeemed from a demonic kingdom placed under the sovereignty of the rightful king, Jesus Christ, Son of God, God the Son, ruling and reigning on the throne forever. This is a present possession. We have redemption, not we will get redemption. We have it because of our union with Christ. We've been bought from the slave market of sin through the blood. Some translations don't have it. Mine does. Many manuscripts do. Either way, you know how we got it, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And by his shedding of blood, our forgiveness of sins is assured. That ought to make you grateful. Now, some of you today may have a little old mustard seed of faith. That's okay. I'm going to give you something. You ready for it? I'm going to give you miracle grow for your faith. Here it is. Gratitude is like fertilizer for your faith. If you can't be thankful for what you do have, you will not be thankful for what God wants to give you. Start with thankfulness today. Stop dwelling on that which you don't have. As Pastor Steve said in our marriage conference this weekend, if you don't have it, God didn't want you to have it. Maybe it's coming later. You and I were slaves to sin. We were unloving and unworthy, but we were not unloved because God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, y'all, I can't get over the fact that in March of 85, man, this is crazy. This is crazy, I'm about to tell y'all. March of 85, this is nuts. March the 30th, exactly. 40 years ago, goodness. God took my wickedness, my sin, every bad thought, word, action, inaction that I should have been doing, everything I had done up to that point, which didn't look like much, but was, and everything I ever would do before I stood in front of him face to face, to today and to then, God took it all, and it was placed on Christ at Calvary, and by grace through faith in Jesus alone, I became a child of God. I received an inheritance. Yes, I haven't seen it with these eyes yet, but I've seen it with these eyes of faith, y'all. I was born again, baptized into the family of faith, and praise God, I'm going to be with him, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus is worthy. That's good news. That's my story. Do you have one? Do you have one? Can you say, you don't have to say the day. You don't have to know the day. You should know the season of life. You should know some general circumstance, but even if you don't have the date, do you know that you know that you know that through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, you've been conveyed into the glorious light? I have an inheritance. So I've got a few questions for y'all. They were written by Mr. Lewis Edgar Jones. Lewis Edgar Jones wrote these in 1899, and I submit 126 years later, they're as powerful and important today as they were then. Are you ready? I got questions. Would you be free from your burden of sin? I have an answer. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? You're not going to do it in your own. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Not in your works. Power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow because it's living. There's wonderful power in the blood. Now, do y'all know that? Now, in that chorus, when I was growing up, in the hymnal, it did not say P-O-W-E-R. It said P-O-W apostrophe R. Because I'm a country boy from North Carolina. We won't talk about the ball game. Be quiet, Dukies. I don't want to hear it. Do you remember it? What did it say? What did it say? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, what is it? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all ever heard that before? Amen. Then now let it sit and soak for a second. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. What's it do? It washes white as snow. Do you believe that? Then let's continue to pray for growth in our godly wisdom, growth in our godly walk, growth in our godly gratitude. I close with a fanciful story, and it is fanciful, so put no theological stock in it. I dreamed I went to heaven and an angel was showing me around. We walked side by side into a large workroom filled with angels, but my guiding angel stopped in front of the first section and said, "Here's the receiving section. Here all petitions to God are received, they're sorted, and they're put in these different places, and it's busy angels everywhere. It's wild. It looks like a huge post office." We move down the long corridor into a second area, and the guiding angel says, "This is packaging and delivery." I mean, it's crazier than an Amazon warehouse. Graces and blessings people ask for are processed and packaged, and they're taken back down, and they're handed to people. And so many angels working everywhere in this station. So many blessings that were requested are being given, and many blessings are being sent that those didn't even know how to request. Blessing after blessing, moment by moment. Finally, at the farthest end of the long corridor, we stop at a door of a very small station, and to my surprise, only one angel is seated there, idly doing nothing. The label on the door? The acknowledgement section. My guiding angel kind of turned to me almost embarrassed and said, "Yeah, it's normally like this around here. After people receive the blessings they've asked for, very few send back acknowledgments." In my curiosity, I said, "Well, this is awful strange, but what does it take to send back an acknowledgment?" My guiding angel said, "Well, all the folks really need to do is say, 'Thank you, Lord.'" I didn't do it this morning. I woke up to the prettiest dark-haired girl on the planet. I came to church with my healthy kids. I'll get to see my beautiful grands. I had eyes, yes, with corrective lenses, but they still see. And ears, yes, mostly deaf, but they kind of still hear. No comment. I came with most of my own teeth today. I walked in on my own two legs on python boots given by a dear friend. Thank you, brother. Prettiest boots I ever owned. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. My heart beats, and I rarely thank God for that. My lungs function, I rarely thank God for that. But I guess if I had heart disease, I'd look at it different. Guess if I had lung cancer, I'd think more about it. As the band comes up, I want you to hear my heart as we close. I have never been a part of a ministry in 26 years of doing this full time and a few years more than that. And growing up really in church, but I've never been a part of anything anywhere with any people that have been more dynamic, more unified, more blessed than this. I got buddies from all over the country that would tell you if you could hear fellow senior pastors talk, they would say, "God's doing something there. Do y'all, don't take it for granted." A couple of my New York buddies, "Yous guys, don't take it for granted. Don't think it's about you. Remember, it's in spite of you." Certainly in spite of me. Today, I want us to show God. I want us to tell God. I want us to demonstrate how grateful we are. I want to sing his praises. I want to share his good news. I want to support this church with any time, any limited little bit of talent I have, because that's just a gift from the Lord, and any treasure. And whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, I want to do it all to the glory of God, because we're going to thank him for the positive changes and transformations. And Wednesday night, the opportunities abound. I hope you'll hear about it. I hope you'll vote as God leads you to vote the way you are called to vote. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to continue lifting up powerful prayers for a changing church. Stand with me. And as you stand, I would say, number one, if you need to trust Christ, last week when Pastor Kyle preached, several came to trust Christ. Praise God. Several in school came to trust God. You know what? You may need to trust God today. Pastors and counselors are ready to receive you. We have beautiful places to go take you and give you the truth of the gospel. So come. If you need to come today and you need to come back to the Lord, renew your commitment and surrender to Him. If you need to come and thank Him, you say, Pastor, no. I've come up there four times in 2024. I've been on my knees at that altar thanking God. Well, thank you, Mr. Holy One. You are such a saint. I believe God deserves the fifth time. I believe our God deserves our praise and thanksgiving. And if you're inclined, you can do it from your seat. You can come to the front. But I'd love for you to come and say, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't deserve it. 40 years ago, I didn't deserve it. 40 years later, I don't deserve it. If I live another 40, I won't deserve it then. Never going to deserve what you've given, but I do receive it. I do accept it. And so if you need to come and express gratitude, if you have a burden that needs to be laid down, maybe you've got that clenched fist and you don't like it. God's big enough to take your anger, but you can't live in it. Maybe today is the day you open your hand and surrender in praise. As I pray, the altar opens. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the joy of serving with men and women that love Jesus. Thank you for those in that room up there considering whether this may be their church home or not. Just let them do what you lead them to do. No more, no less. No earlier, no later. Just now or whenever you call them. Let it be said of us as a body that we're not about building grace. We're about building the kingdom. And if we focus on the kingdom, then the King will be pleased. That is our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come.
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.